And so, Lord, as we open your word to this morning, we pray, Lord, make it come alive to every single one of us. Speak to us, Lord. But more than that, Lord, give us ears to hear. May we hear with our hearts and obey with our feet and look forward to the coming again of the Son of Man as we do so. Use this time now to teach us, to mold us, to grow us, we pray. For your sake. Amen. Please be seated. As we start our teaching series again this year in the book of John, just to recap where we're going to be working from. So we're in John chapter 5, verse 24 to 30 this morning. And if you just remember back, it was when Jesus had healed that lame man at the pool of Bethesda. And the Jewish leaders of the day had come up against him because they were furious because he'd done it on the Sabbath. And so they stand up against Jesus. And Jesus confronts them. And he says to them, the one that you are confronting, the one that you are not listening to, the one that you are furious with, is Jesus the judge. I am God. You thought they were furious before. They were really furious then. And I'm sure if they could have, they would have stoned him right there. And so, we're jumping into the middle of this confrontation Jesus has with them and the words he gives them and the truth he tries to bring into their hard hearts that he is God. And so, let's turn to John chapter 5, verse 24 to 30, and see what he says to them. I'm going to read from verse 18, just to put us back in the picture. He had just said, my Father is working until now, and so I am working. In other words, I'm God. This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing, and greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Father, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Now the Pharisees would have been furious. Truly, truly, Jesus carries on, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. He's saying to them, you aren't in life. Truly, truly, I say to you, he carries on, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this. For an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And then he carries on, but we'll leave off there. And then I want you to turn to the book of Ezekiel. We don't usually go there. Ezekiel chapter 20. And I just want to read a few verses. Because the attitude that's being described in this book is the attitude the Pharisees had in front of Jesus, and is the attitude that many in the world have today towards the gospel message. And specifically towards this fact that the Son of Man is going to reappear and judgment will happen. This is the attitude that many have and that the Pharisees had. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 45 to 48. And the word of the Lord came to me, that's the prophet Ezekiel. Son of man, set your face towards the Southland. Nothing against the South Island here, by the way. Just the Southland of Judah and Israel. Set your face towards the Southland. Preach against the South and prophesy against the forest land in the Negeb. Say to the forest of the Negeb, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will kindle a fire in you, and it shall devour every green tree in you and every dry tree. In other words, all trees. The blazing flame shall not be quenched, and all faces from south to north shall be scorched by it. All flesh shall see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. Then I, that's the prophet, said, ah, Lord God, they are saying of me, is he not a maker of parables? He's telling stories. Jesus confronts the Pharisees. Verse 24. He says to them, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I tell you. What does that mark? We should know this by now. It is a truth statement which has death and life hanging on it. Truly, truly. In other words, in modern language, listen up. Open your ears. You see, what Christ is saying is, listening to his message and then believing in God brings eternal life. There are two very specific things there. There's listening to the message of Christ and believing in God. That brings eternal life. It's not just any old message. It's his message that has to be believed. And it brings eternal life. Eternal life's not a destination. Eternal life's a way of life. Many people react to this phrase, eternal life, as if something out there we're still going to attain. My friend, if you're a believer here today, then you have already started living your eternal life. It's just going to get much better when the Lord comes. You're already living in eternity now. It's not something we're going to get. That's really important to grab hold of. And so we need to hear and believe. Those two things are not different. Hearing in Scripture is believing. You either don't hear and not believe, or you hear and believe. It's not a physical thing I'm speaking about, hearing. It is a heart hearing. It is believing or it isn't believing. And to enable that to happen in the sinner, it has to take an act of God. Why? Because our eyes are darkened. We are so tainted by sin, our hearts can't hear the truth. And so God has to intervene and open the ears of our hearts so that we can actually believe. If you're not a believer here today, my friend, I plead with you, ask God to open the ears of your heart and to allow you to hear and believe his message and come to Christ. He carries on in that verse. Eternal life means no condemnation and what? A transferal from one place to another. You thought eternal life was just, I'm going to end my life and carry on living. No, eternal life has started now. What does that mean? You've been taken. Something's happened to you. There is no more condemnation for your sin. Jesus Christ died to take away that condemnation which was all over your life because of sin. Jesus Christ gave you life. There is no more condemnation over your life. Don't believe Satan's lie when he wants to bring you down in life and say, you see, you're stuffed up again. How can you be a believer? There is no condemnation anymore on your life because of Christ's work. Believe Christ. You have eternal life already. And what's happened? There's a miracle that happened. Look where you were. You were in the sphere of death. And you were literally, says the word, your ESV might say you passed from. But the literal translation there is you were brought from. You were transferred out of death into the sphere of life. There's a miracle of grace that happened there. You didn't just become a Christian. You were taken from death and transferred into life. Who can do that? Can you do that? Only God can transfer someone from death to life. You see, it's not just a quick thing about you say a little prayer and you become a believer. There's so much more that happens here in the background. No more condemnation. Transferred from death to life. You have eternal life. My friend, if you're a believer, just take hold of that this year and believe it. It'll make such a difference to the way we live before God. We can live victorious lives before Him. Just from that verse. Truly, truly, I say to you, let's hear what God says and believe. I even hear some objections, not from you necessarily, but you hear them today. Oh, come on, Calvin. We've heard all this stuff before. My friend, make sure you're a believer. Make sure. Ask God, have I been transferred from death to life? Jesus continues with the Pharisees. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and that hour is now here. Now, I've already spent a bit of time at that on Christmas Day, but I'll just quickly go over that again. He says to them, listen up again. He's adding to their woes. Why? Because he's bringing the truth to them. If they don't hear, it's another woe against them. Truly, truly, I say to you, here's the truth. This is an unchangeable truth. You need to believe, Pharisees. An hour is coming, and that hour is now here. An hour is coming. You see, for many thousands of years, the prophets had prophesied about this coming Messiah. God had spoken to individuals in history. Yes, He'd spoken to Adam. He'd spoken to Abraham. He'd spoken to Noah. He'd spoken to Moses. But mostly, He spoke to people through the prophets. And they either believed or they didn't believe. And they were all pointing forward. But now Jesus says, standing in front of these Pharisees, that hour is now here. In other words, that one that they've been prophesying about is standing in front of you. I am God. That prophecy is now already fulfilled, is the language used here. It's in the present continuous tense here. It is already, the present perfect tense. It's already fulfilled among you. I'm standing before you. Jesus says, the one who brings you these words is the Son of Man. Let's just look at verse 25 and read what he says there. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Why was that confronting to the Pharisees? Because here, they are the religious leaders. They are the ones who are supposed to be leading the people. They are the ones who are supposed to be the hyper-spiritual ones. And yet, Jesus is saying to them, those who hear will live. The dead will hear and live. And he's telling them. So what's he saying to them? You are the dead ones. And if you believe me, the hour is now here. You will hear and also live. It's fulfilled, he says. I have come that you may live. But what are you doing, Pharisees? You are rejecting me. And what's the good news that he brings there? He's saying to all those who hear this truth and believe him to be the Son of God and ask him to be their Lord and Master, Jesus promises new life. Oh, I've still got lots of time to decide. I first want to live life a bit and then I'll become a believer. Is that what you're saying, my friend? If you know the date and the time of when Jesus reappears, you go for it. Live life. And then come to him. But my friend, if you don't know the date and the time when he comes, today is the day to hear and believe and trust him to be God. Don't presume that there'll be a tomorrow. You can't always decide tomorrow. It's today. Verse 26 and 27. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. You see, the Father has given two tasks to the Son. If you glance back at verses 22 and 23, what are those two tasks? The two tasks God, the Father, gives to the Son is to give new life and to judge. Those are the two tasks assigned to the Son. Why does God do that? Why does the Father do that? Verse 23 has the answer. So that everyone will honor the Son. You see, it's all about the honor that goes towards Jesus as the Messiah, as the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. It's all about his authority and his honor. Jesus is the Son of Man. That's a phrase Jesus assigns to himself. He is the one who's been brought to mankind. He is the Son of Man. And so if you want to honor God, then you need to honor the Son. I heard someone this week saying, yeah, I don't believe in Jesus, but I believe there is a God. No, you don't. Because Jesus said, if you believe me and believe in me, then you might believe in God. But you can't have one without the other. Verse 28, and there's much more here, but we've got to move on. Verse 28 to 29. And this is all about Jesus' authority. Listen to what he says. Do not marvel at this. For an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of evil. Now please hear this truth. Death is not the end. There are many around us today who live life and they think, I'm going to live it up now because when I die, that's it. And yes, they talk about, I'm going to party with my friends in hell, but they don't really believe that. They believe, I need to live it up now because that's all I got. Death is not the end, according to the truth of Scripture. And so don't be surprised when you suddenly wake up one day and there's more life. There are going to be many, many, many surprised people when Jesus Christ reappears. The time is come, says Jesus. And the literal translation, your Bible might say the time is coming. The literal translation, the time is come. Why does it say that? Because in the certainty of God's mind and with the zeal of Almighty God, the time is come already. It's going to happen. When, what's going to happen? When all the dead in their graves, now look at the double emphasis there. All the dead in their graves. Who else is in a grave? Only dead ones. So when the dead in their graves, double emphasis, they really dead. Stinking, going apart, dead. When the dead in their graves will hear the voice, the dead will hear the voice. Of who? Of a very specific one, of God's Son. Why? Because what's been assigned to him? Authority. And what will they do in response? They will rise. I'm really slowing down on this. What will happen? Anyone been to a court? Come on, own up. It's not just me. All right. When you're in a court, just before the judge comes in, what do they say? All rise. Why? Authority. It's not because of that person. It's because of the authority that that person and the position they're in carries. So everyone stands. When Jesus reappears, the moment he reappears, his authority comes with him. And what will happen? All the dead in their graves will recognize that authority and hear the voice of the Son of God, and they will rise again. They won't be able to help themselves. Every human being will rise. Whether they're dead or alive, they will rise in the presence of the Son of God. It's not my truth. It's Scripture says this, and it's going to happen. And whether they're guilty or not guilty, good or bad, doesn't matter, robber, preacher, doesn't matter, we'll all rise before the Son of Man. Look what happened to Lazarus. Lazarus is a good example of this. There he was, dead, stinking in the tomb. His sister said he would be, and he'd better be there. And when Jesus called him and said, Lazarus, come forth, those bones and flesh gathered themselves, and God brought him out of that tomb with the bandages still around him. The dead shall hear his voice. My friend, there's such hope for me there, because I don't know how long I'm going to live. And yes, I'm living now, and yes, death's going to intervene probably, but who knows before the Lord comes. But there's my hope. You see, in my dead state in the ground, I might be in a million pieces. Who knows? But I will hear the voice of the Son of Man when he says, Calvin, come forth, and I will rise up. And it'll be a miracle, because he'll do it. He'll pull me together. He'll bring me out of that grave with you and with millions of others and billions of people. All will rise before the Son of Man. Man, you think that's going to be a big picture. There'll be no exception then. That's why we sang that song. Saint and sinner, prince and pauper, we'll all bow down. Doesn't matter who you are. When the Son of God commands, we will hear and rise. And that's going to be a bit of a sight. I've never thought of this. Because those who've been, just think of this, those who've been saved by grace and by Christ will rise. How? Singing, but yeah, definitely. But we'll have our glorified bodies, right? Think about that. I'm not sure if I'm going to have here or not have here. I'm not sure which is the glorified state, but we're going to be rising with glorified bodies. But think of this. Those who rise who are not in Christ, they're not going to have glorified bodies. The bodies they're going to rise up with are going to be ones tainted and wrangled by sin, because they haven't been promised new bodies. They're going to rise before God. And it says, Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, they're going to rise to shame and everlasting contempt. There's something else we need to note about this passage. You see, neither John's Gospel or Revelation teach that a period of 1,000 years will intervene between the physical resurrection of believers and the physical resurrection of unbelievers. Now, I'm not going to make a big song and dance about this, because believers on both sides of the fence really love this, and we're all on the same side. Yes, we differ on our interpretation. But when I look at a straight reading of God's Word, there is no interval between those who are in Christ rising and unbelievers rising. John says this, the hour is coming when all, that's a bit of an inclusive word, when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come out. Revelation 20 verse 12 says, and I saw the dead and the great and the small, and books were opened, and another book was opened, and the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them too. All.
But our text isn't finished yet, verse 29. Let's look at what it says. Second half. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. You see, all will hear and rise, so that what can happen? Justice. Justice has to happen. We'll all rise to be judged by Judge Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has the authority to judge. What's the timeline? It's going to happen immediately at our resurrection, and it follows the appearance of Jesus Christ appearing. Again, I see no 1,000 year. When Christ reappears, the judgment happens. And it's going to happen in this way. Somehow, we're all going to appear before God all at the same time, even though we're individuals. And somehow, we're all going to be judged by Jesus Christ simultaneously, although your experience of it will be individual. And He will judge. And when He judges, there's one of two things that happens. He either says to you, come into the kingdom I've prepared for you, because you are saved by the blood of my Son, Jesus Christ. Sorry, this is Jesus speaking. You've been saved by my blood. Come into the kingdom I have prepared for you. Or it's going to be another destination. Let's first look at the one. He's going to say those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life. Now, please note, it's not talking about good works here. It's not saying that you can be a good person, and if you're a good enough person, then when you appear before the judge, you'll say, all right, I've tallied it up. Good, bad, do the maths. Yeah. Okay, good. You go into heaven. It's got nothing to do with works. What it's speaking about here is we love Jesus Christ. He saved us by grace, and because of that, I live an obedient life before Him. Good works. Those who have done good because of their obedience to Christ will rise to experience eternal life. And listen to this. I'm going to slow down here again. We're going to appear before Christ. And there's going to be an immediate proclamation of entry into eternity because of Christ's blood payment for our sin. Does that still impact us? When we appear before the judge, Jesus Christ, He's going to look at us and He's going to say, I know you. I love you. I died for you. Come with me into my kingdom. He's going to look at us as believers and judge our lives before Him, right? And He's going to say, you lived a good life before me. Enter into my kingdom. He's not going to weigh up our lives and say, no, okay, today, all right, you can go. He's going to take us with Him into the kingdom. But there's another group speaks about here. Those who have continued in evil, says this text, despite the sayings and the messages of Christ, will rise to experience judgment. What does judgment mean? There's whole sermons here. What is judgment? Judgment means, another word for it, if you have the old King James, it is that you will experience the wrath of God. Wrath literally means the anger of God. Now, it doesn't mean the revenge of God. God's not a revenging God. But He is a completely just God. And so what will happen is that these people will experience, another word, another phrase for wrath is the inflexible righteousness of a righteous judge. God will only do what is right before Him and what is good. No degree either way. There's going to be no glimmer of compassion on that day for those who are not in Christ. Not a glimmer of compassion. No time off for good behavior. This judgment speaks of no possibility of reprieve or of, I've weighed your case and I've now found you innocent. It is guilty or not guilty. And then the sentence. What is the sentence? There it is. Matthew 25 verse 41. Then He will say to those on His left, depart from Me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. My friend, you're at a Baptist church, I know, and Baptist churches are known for preaching hell and damnation. I know all those things, but This is God's word. This is not a fantasy. This is not a fairy tale. This is God's word. He will appear. He will judge. There will be those who go into eternity with him and those who spend eternity separated from any goodness and grace of God. God's word says so. Believe it. I've included verse 30 because it's a kind of a summary statement, and we'll come back to it again, but just it's a summary statement of what Jesus just said, and he's referring to this indignant response of this healing of the man at Bethesda. And Jesus healed this man because Jesus and the Father were in agreement to do so. And so by opposing Jesus, these Jewish leaders are opposing God himself. And so bringing judgment to bear on themselves. And he's saying to them, my friends, if you don't believe, you are going to undergo double trouble. Why? Because you do not believe in God the Father either. You're rejecting God the Father. You're rejecting me, the Son. You face his wrath. Yes, as the leaders of the nation. So you need to hear. I just carry out the will of the one who sent me, says Jesus. What's the implication for them? And to those of us who hear this today, it is this. Embrace by faith the Son of God or be judged for your unbelief. One sentence. What do we do with this? Just 3 points of application. First one is this. Hearing is not enough. Many people have heard today, but hearing is not enough. New birth does not happen apart from God's word. A mystical experience won't save you. Going on a spiritual journey won't save you. Paying penance won't save you. God saves us through the hearing of his truth. As the Spirit applies it. That's how he saves. No other way. The truth has to be heard and believed. And it must be accepted by faith. And the object of that faith is who? Jesus Christ. If you are holding on to religion, you are not saved. If you are looking to Jesus Christ as your Savior, yes, then you're saved. No other way to enter eternity. Second point, all will rise. We all have a divine appointment with the Son of God, believer and unbeliever. At an appointed millisecond in time, Christ will reappear. And when he does, it will be a visual and an audible return. You will know he's arrived. Every eye will see and every ear shall hear that he is here. You will see him returning on the clouds if you're still alive. And if you're physically dead, you will hear the voice of Jesus Christ and he'll say, come forth. And with the authority he has over death, you will rise and millions and billions with you. There will be no opt-out. You can't decide not to rise that day. You will rise. And here's a third thing that will happen. All will be judged. We will all appear before him. We'll all enter into one of two destinies. Life eternal with Christ. Or life eternal separated from his goodness, his mercy, and his grace. The very things which sustain us every single day. We take them for granted. You're not even going to experience the sustaining grace of God anymore. You will live an eternity without any of his goodness. My friend, as you sit here this morning, and I think I know most of you here, I can see the superficial side of you. I can see the outside. I can see you, but I can't see your heart. As you sit here this morning, have you been saved by Jesus Christ? Or are you still holding on to your religion and tricking a whole lot of people who think that you're a Christian? I'd hate not to see you in eternity one day. make sure that you believe in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you will experience the wrath of God. Today is the day to hear and believe. Let's pray. Lord our God, as Jesus, you appeared before these religious leaders, and they all thought they were okay. They were the religious leaders of the whole people. And yet you were saying to them, you do not know me. Lord, as each of us sit before you here today, as individuals who will appear before your throne of grace, Lord, help us to make sure, as your Spirit affirms in our souls, that we belong to you because of what you have done, not because of religion and what we are doing. And Lord, give us a renewed sense of appreciation for your grace in us and what you've accomplished, how you separated us from death and brought us into the sphere of everlasting life. And in gratefulness for that, Lord, may we serve you every day with the strength that you continue to give us by your sustaining grace. And Lord, as we use the provisions you give us every week and as we just move and have our being before you, Lord, may we acknowledge that you still sustain us every day. But you've given us a task to do, and that is to take out the message of the gospel to those who face a sure eternity without you if they don't respond to you, Jesus Christ. Help us to have that urgency on our lives, but also at the same time to show the love of Jesus Christ available to those we speak to. Do this work in us this week, Lord. May we be the tools in the hands of the Master to live lives this week which reflect Jesus Christ and the gospel message. And when the opportunity comes before us which you give, may you open our mouths to speak the truth with love. We ask this in your precious name, Jesus.